Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast, the number one spirituality podcast on iTunes. My name is Emma Mumford and I'm your host. I'm the UK's leading law of attraction expert, award-winning life coach, two times best-selling author, manifestation YouTuber, speaker, and badass spiritual queen. I'm here to help you awaken and turn your dream life into an abundant reality and help you create your positively wealthy life full of happiness, abundance, and joy. I do this through sharing the power of law of attraction and spirituality. I hope my podcast will inspire you to raise your game and start living your best life today. Without further ado, let's get started with this week's episode. Hey gorgeous souls, and welcome back to another one of my Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast episodes. I hope you are all doing well today, and today we have the wonderful Jade Shaw with us. So Jade, if you don't know, is an out-of-body experience OBE researcher and teacher that advocates altered states of awareness for personal and collective change. Jade's work has absolutely fascinated me over the years, and I'm so excited to be talking all things out-of-body experience with Jade today. Welcome to the show, Jade. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here and to talk about all things altered states and out-of-body experiences.
Yes, I'm so excited to ask you all of the questions, Jade. But one question that I have for you that I ask every single guest that comes on is, when did you spiritually awaken? What's your story?
Yes. So I was thinking about this when you sent me the questions, and actually I don't think I've had a moment of spiritual awakening. And I think largely because I've had lots of experiences all my life since being like 6 years old, from lucid dreaming and out of body experiences. So there was never anything that seemed so different from ordinary reality, ordinary life, to kind of wake me up. But I've had many insights and realizations from OBEs, out-body experiences, lucid dreams, ayahuasca, plant medicine, that have completely blown my mind. I think what I did do is probably the opposite to everybody else, which is, because I'd had a lot of spiritual experiences, I decided to then take the scientific route and go the other way around, because I noticed that there was a tendency to lean too far into cognitive dissonance in the New Age scene and in the spiritual scene, meaning people made sense of things from their own belief systems and conditioning, which wasn't necessarily the truth of the situation. So I decided to kind of look at my field, out of body experiences, through psychology in the Western lens, as well as Tibetan Buddhism, which of course I lived in a Tibetan Buddhist temple for 5 years. So I learned from that perspective as well. But yeah, so kind of to try and get a balance of the two, a balance between the scientist and the mystic, so that there's kind of an equal fence to be sitting on.
I like that though. I think that's good, because like you say, you know, I've interviewed like, I think it's like 100, 200 people on this podcast by now, as you can imagine. And, you know, everybody has such a different answer to that question. And that's the beauty of it, that we all have such beautiful and unique awakenings and aha moments. But actually, it's really interesting hearing from the people who had spiritual parents, were kind of raised in those environments, because actually they're like, I don't think I had one awakening, but actually these kind of, you know, experiences happened and it really deepened that. So I love that you actually ended up going down the scientific route, because
actually, that shocks me. Like, I wouldn't think a lot of spiritual people would do that, because they would kind of be like, you know, I've got the spiritual awareness, spiritual knowledge. But I agree, like, sometimes spirituality can go so far out there with the energy work, which is so needed and so fantastic. But actually grounding it in with science and grounding it in with the practicality, I think makes it so much more understandable for people and tangible. And I think that's why people probably really gravitate towards your work, because obviously it's backed by science. There's so much research that goes into your work. And I think when you can kind of see it from all angles, I think it just makes it so much more accessible to people.
Yeah, definitely. And it certainly made me see things through a different light as well. So yeah, it's amazing. I can give you an example, if you like, of that. One of the things that often happens with our body experiences, and this is why I went down the psychology route, it does depend on what your beliefs are about the nature of reality. But for example, I get a lot of people coming to me going, I saw this dark figure, there was this demon, there was this entity. And I'm like, well, is it as you believe and as you perceive, or actually is it a shadow aspect from your own consciousness related to your trauma that needs healing, presenting it to you in a personified way that wants healing? And that's why it's coming to you, because it's shouting to be seen and heard and healed. And if I didn't have that, or we didn't have that awareness from kind of that grounded, balanced, scientific view, we may just think that everything is separate to ourselves in an out-of-body experience, and miss the opportunity to actually integrate whatever it is that we meet out there. Because more often than not, it is a shadow aspect from our own background, our own mind. And Todd Akamesis, who's a friend of mine, had an experience of this, and he had a shadow figure come to him in an astral projection, and he was scared, froze to the spot, and then it got closer and closer, and it actually ended up being his son. And had he just reacted in fear and ran away and gone, oh my God, it's coming to get me, he wouldn't have had the opportunity to have an amazing, incredible shared out-of-body experience with his son when he got closer. And in the morning, he asked his son questions and they corroborated the experience. And his son actually had an experience with Todd, and they'd gone out. And this William Buhlmann talks the same, who's a famous teacher, and so does Robert Monroe. So that's kind of an example of what I mean there about not just assuming a lot of things from the spiritual new age scene, depending on what tradition we're drawing from, of course.
Yeah, and I think there's so many kind of, like, I'm not an expert in astral projection by any means, Jade. That's why you're here on the podcast, to teach me and everyone today. But from what I've heard, and especially on TikTok, I'm sure you hear this all of the time, like, people talk about astral projection, and the number one thing I see, this might just be my For You page because I keep watching these videos, but it's like, don't you dare ask them what time it is, because if you ask what time it is, it's over. And like all these hilarious things of what you should and shouldn't do in astral projection. And I was like, I have to get Jade's thought on this, because it makes me laugh so much every time I see it. And I'm like, what is this time thing? Why can't we ask them what time it is?
That's so funny. I haven't actually seen that. I mean, I haven't actually seen that, not asking what time it is. I mean, you perceive time very differently. But I mean, you can ask and say anything, and it's different for everybody. So I don't think there's any truth in you ask a certain thing and then a definite thing happens. You could have five different people ask, what time is it? One of them could be told the time. Another one could be taken to another timeline. Another one could just wake up back in their body. Another one could be taken to the Akashic Records. It's all different depending on what the intention of that question is, what time means to that person, and then who they are actually asking the time too. So there's lots of different variables in the outcome to that. But I don't know what they actually say. Like, do they say that you die or something crazy?
Yeah, so they were saying, if you start lucid dreaming and you're astral projecting and like, you know, like that's what's happening, don't ask them what the time is, because then they'll spot that you're not meant to be there. And basically, like, it all just turns bad. And like, a lot of people say this. And I'm like, I've never heard Jade say this.
Yeah, I've never known anyone to ask what the time is. There's just so many things you can do. You're flying, you're healing your trauma, you're going to other worlds. Like, I've never had time to ask something so mundane and ordinary as, oh, by the way, what's the time? When you're traveling in the universe, it's not the first thing that comes to mind. But that's really funny. I mean, in a lucid dream is very different to an out-of-body experience. So I think if you ask what the time is in a lucid dream, the character in the dream, who is you, usually responds with a, probably responds in that way. But astral projection, I think, is a little bit different for sure.
Okay, well, we're going way out there already. So we need to bring it all the way back to the ground for everybody. So what is astral projection for anybody who is completely new to this, Jade?
Yeah, no, great question. And I think it does need to be defined. So generally speaking, astral projection is an esoteric term for a self-induced out-of-body experience. What is an out-of-body experience? It is the feeling or sensation of floating out of your physical body, entering into another world that appears real, and being able to travel to different dimensions, realms, and have encounters with beings, entities, spirit guides, loved ones that have passed over. What it isn't is a lucid dream, which is a dream in which you know you're dreaming. So you wake up in the dream, you go, oh my God, I'm dreaming. You can control it to some degree. You can do cool stuff like fly. You can integrate your trauma. But a lucid dream is like you are in the laptop of your own mind, and 99% of everything in the dream is you. So you're flying around in this hallucination of your own mind, like a laptop. You have access to the hard drive, the files, the pictures through memories. But there is a cable that attaches the laptop to the internet. The internet goes into the collective consciousness, the consensus realities. The spirit world is what the shamans would call it. And so you can actually springboard from a lucid dream into astral projection, which is where you go beyond your own mind state, beyond your own hallucinations and belief systems, into these other planes and realms of existence. So it is, and this is the esoteric and more of the Buddhist phrasing of it. It depends how you look at it. So in transpersonal psychology, they would say that you're creating a realm that is real, but you enter into it and it's just made up from your imagination and your memory. Of course, you can have journeys which you then prove that you've gone beyond your own mind. For example, coming out of your body, going to the shop, seeing what's going on there, or getting a door number, or seeing what your friend's doing, coming back to your body and then verifying it. And many people have done that. And I talk about a famous my famous one that I always say that changed my life. I managed to get a door number, never been down the street before, so we can't say it was from my own memory. And then I went there and it was the same one, and it blew my mind. That's what changed my trajectory, and I ended up studying it for psychology. I left a 15-year career in the arts because I was like, oh my God, how is this possible? How can this be real? And then the shamans would say, your spirit is leaving your body, or your soul is leaving your body, and you're entering the spirit world. And this is prevalent through all of the different religions, who usually say to some degree, your soul is leaving your body. I align with the idea that an aspect of your conscious awareness is somehow going beyond the boundaries of your own mind, is going beyond the boundaries of your body. So it's not a dream. It's not active imagination where you're thinking like a guided meditation or a shamanic journey in your mind, that you're traveling to different places, into the sea or into caves or into the upper worlds or lower worlds. It is also, not a normal dream. And it's not just a vision as well. It's different to a psychedelic journey, which is more geometric patterns, still being able to potentially connect with different beings and places and realms, but it's very different. The closest phenomena to an out-of-body experience is the near-death experience. In fact, the near-death experience is an out-of-body experience. That's one of the core components of it. But it has some other elements that isn't always prevalent in an OBE, such as the white tunnel of light, for example. So yeah, that's kind of like how we kind of define it, depending on the perspective that we're looking at it through.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, I've always kind of heard of these out of body, well, near death experiences, like you say, when they come out of body. And I think there was, I don't know the researcher, but I remember the story that's been very famously told about how this doctor in a hospital would put things on top of like cabinets and on the roof of the hospital to basically prove that people were traveling out of their body, and they could see the number he had put on top of the wardrobe in their room when they had a near-death experience. And I think it was something like red trainers or something on the top of a hospital that, again, the person who had the near-death experience and left their body then saw and then came back down and was like, I've seen a pair of red shoes. And they go up and the red shoes are there. So that really blew my mind. But I suppose all of this is possible. All of this is possible. But on a personal level, if we're not having a near-death experience, why would we want to leave our body and astral project? Like, what are the benefits of it?
Oh my God, yes. I get asked this question so much, and I know it's so hard for people to grasp if they've never had the experience, but it just makes me want to shake people and go, oh my God, you can leave your body. You can fly and go to different dimensions around you and meet people like it's real. Think Doctor Strange in those Marvel movies. Like it can actually happen. And still that can seem so far out, so extravagant that it's hard for people to grasp. So if we bring it down to earth a little bit, some of the things that really change people's lives and what I found from my research when I did the study that was featured in Forbes was there were eight different things. These are called transformative themes that occurred for everybody. So regardless of how they had the OBE or what the content was, these eight things happened. So it was a motivational catalyst. So something after their OBE changed them forever and they made a change. Left their partner or their career, or they went for that job that they wanted to do. They moved countries. There was a big motivational catalyst. Another one was inner peace. So they had increased inner peace. They had a reduced fear of death. This is a big one. Everybody either had a reduced fear of death, no death anxiety, or they fully believed that, yes, I am going to go on after my death. I have proof now that I am more than matter, more than mind, more than my limited sense of self. I'm much bigger than I can perceive myself to be. Not because I believe it, not because I've read it, not because I've had a vision of it. It's because I've literally experienced it. The other ones were new life perspectives and also increased self-awareness. So being more aware of their traumas, their patterns, their triggers, and also having new spiritual beliefs. So they gained new ones, or the ones they already had grew stronger. And then they changed their relationships. So they had a reassessment of their friends and their family. Basically, they were like, okay, these are toxic people in my life, or these are wonderful people in my life. Which ones do I want to let go of? Which ones do I want to keep? And do I want to have, who do I want to bring into my life? So these were the eight themes. But on a kind of an even more grounded way, you can use it for accessing your potential, your purpose. You can experience your higher self. There's so much throwing around, oh, your higher self. I'm like, mate, have you experienced your divine, unlimited, non-duality self? Higher self is like baby steps. You can get like here, then here, then here, and it's absolutely incredible. And this is when you get to like the levels of interconnectedness that, you know, psychedelics can take you, and beyond that as well. So yeah, you can experience your higher self and your potential, but you can actually go beyond that. And then also one of the biggest ones is what a lot of spiritual traditions use it for, which is connecting to dead loved ones who have passed over and being able to get closure and heal grief through traveling to what the Buddhists call the Bardo states, the places in between this life and the next, or in the spiritualist tradition, they would say the afterlife. So you can go and visit these different places and then come back to your body. And you will always come back to your body, because I know there's someone listening going, oh my God, will I come back to my body? Yes, yes, you will. Don't worry. And I can speak on behalf of all of the top teachers in the world, because I know them, who all say you will come back to your physical body. I mention that because it's one of the top three fears. So healing grief, being able to connect with dead loved ones and finding your purpose. But beyond that, it's really self-transcendence. So Abraham Maslow spoke about this hierarchy, and he had, you know, we have to go up these hierarchy of needs to be able to fulfill our ultimate potential. He was one of the big top guns in psychology. And he said self-actualization, so fulfilling our potential, was at the top. But just before he died, he added a new layer. And he said, no, this is what you need to get to. No, it's not self-actualization, fulfilling our potential. It's going beyond the self itself. And this is where we kind of expand, we become bigger, our perception opens, our ability to perceive other possibilities for ourselves comes from self-transcendence. And if you look at almost any invention, music, artwork that has broken boundaries, you will find that they accessed it through experiencing to some degree self-transcendence. Not necessarily through an out-of-body experience, although Buckminster Fuller, who's arguably the best inventor of all time, arguably, had his inventions from an out-of-body experience, but usually it's from an altered state. Dali, even Einstein. So yeah, it can be pretty powerful stuff.
Well, it definitely sounds very powerful. And I think it's as well, like when you said, you know, people, like the fear of death, you know, massively reduces. I think that's so true, because you can imagine we get so bunged down with the human experience and the 3D and air, like the density and heaviness of everything that we experience in this life. And you can imagine having that out of body experience, like of course would be a whole spiritual awakening in itself, because you're seeing actual proof of like, whoa, okay, this is what it's about. This is how energy works. This is like, you know, how the universe works. And I can connect to these dead loved ones. I can move here and come back into my body. I think it might be quite trippy, but I think people would of course come back having a whole new sense on their spirituality and life, because we, you know, every day walking around in life, you know, we don't have access to that. You know, we kind of see the 3D physical and think, oh, you know, that's it. And then you might come into the 4D and think, right, you know, manifestation, spirituality, and you have that connection. But I think, like you say, experiencing that and seeing that must be like a whole new level.
Exactly. You've just hit the nail on the head. Like, I couldn't have answered that better myself. It's the the experience of it. You don't believe it, you don't see it, you don't read it. You literally feel yourself, and it's very physical. One of the most common lines that people say is, it felt realer than real. Imagine having an experience realer than this reality right now, where you shift beyond your body. It's so shocking that usually the first out of body experience is quite short lived, because people come out of their body and they're like, whoa, and they snap back in because they overreact. And that's what happened to Eve, who is the main character in Behind Her Eyes. So when I taught the cast of the hit Netflix show, she was the only one that managed to have an out-of-body experience in the workshop, because it is a skill. You do have to learn how to do it. And she got her head out, it lifted out, and she went, and then she was like, whoa, and then she came back in, and she came and spoke to me about it at the end when we had the sharing circle. So you do have to practice it, but it is quite shocking, and that's what.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Bye. When you have that sense of, I can exist beyond my body, beyond form, or I am not at least bound to my body, and not because it's something I've been taught, but I've had direct experience of it, is the probably the most profound thing about the experience. And that's before you've even gone and done anything. You've just entered your own bedroom or wherever your body is, before you've even journeyed anywhere. That's a really profound thing to happen.
I love that. So for anybody who has sparked their interest around astral projection and is like, I want to give this a go, where can we start? What are your top tips?
Yeah, so I want to give you some tips now to start tonight. Reminding everyone that it is a skill. If you were going to start riding a bike, you would need to learn how to steer the handlebars, pedal the wheels, get your balance, and then you'd need to learn to go over different terrains, wouldn't you? So it's the same as that. You wouldn't expect to go to a yoga class and be able to do a handstand straight away. So you have to get the technique. Saying that, some people do have them more than others. And this depends on a few things, such as your absorption rate. How quickly can you absorb into an altered state? Like, for example, if you I imagine a lot of your viewers are probably empaths and highly intuitive, so they're probably going to have quite a high absorption straight, if I was going to make that assumption. So if you like cry at adverts, you can enter an altered state very quickly, maybe meditation, drop in, you would have a high absorption rate. The second one is if you have a high uncertainty principle, meaning you are okay with uncertainty. So this is a harder one, especially for people who are control freaks. And I'm a recovering control freak, at least that's what I tell myself. So it's being able to enter the unknown and be with uncertainty, because a lot of people who want to know what's going to happen and control everything around them, you have to just let go, you have to surrender, you have to be open to whatever environment you astral project into. One of my case studies came out of his body, and usually you're in the same room, but sometimes you can enter into a different dimension. He came out and he was in the universe already. He was in space, and he sat up out of his body and he was like, whoa, just looking at everything around him. And he managed to be okay and stay calm and not panic and be okay with uncertainty. So that's why he had a powerful experience. He went on, had a journey. So high absorption rate, good with uncertainty and the unknown, and openness to new experiences, which is linked. So how open are you to receiving new experiences? So this is a good one if you do manifest, because that's probably going to be pretty good. So yes, few tips. Hypnagogic mindfulness. The easiest way to astral project, in my opinion, is to enter an altered state that we all go through every day anyway. And this is the mind awake, body asleep state. So the mind awake body asleep is a little bit like when you're falling asleep, you black out, or most people do. We want to try and hold awareness so you don't fall asleep. You're just holding awareness. Then your body will begin to fall asleep, but your mind stays awake and aware. This is the hardest bit, but once you master it, which can be pretty quick, you can then be able to use it to springboard. So this is what we called hacking the hypnagogic highway. Hypnagogic is on the cusp of sleep as you're falling. So you're falling, hold it. You hit the sweet spot. You're not too awake. You're not too asleep. You're in that altered state. And a little tester here is if you've ever heard yourself snore, you're in that state, or you think you're asleep, but you can hear stuff in your room. That's that sweet spot. From there, you can do a technique to then springboard out of the body. So hypnagogic mindfulness, you're got into bed, and you want to bring your attention and your mind to what can I hear, what can I see, what can I feel? What can I hear, what can I see, what can I feel? Sensations, energy, whatever it might be, with no expectation, not trying to find anything, just noticing. So this is going to enable you to hold your attention, to stay awake and aware, because it's anchoring your mind to these three different sensations. Then you might end up feeling vibrations. And if a lot of your people are into energy work, you might already be familiar with feeling kind of vibration through energy. The vibrational state is step two. So one, mind awake, body asleep, hypnagogic mindfulness, do it every night. It won't take away your energy. You're falling asleep anywhere. It's just being aware of it. Two is the vibrational state. This is the transitory precursor. So the bit before you leave the body, you might start feeling vibrations. If you feel vibrations, which usually come on spontaneously, but you can trigger it, and there's techniques I teach to trigger it, try to follow the vibrations with your intuition out of the body. But from there, the third thing is so funny. The doorbell went when I said the third thing and I was about to exit the body. I don't know. I feel like it was synchronistic. The third thing, which is the key important thing, is the exit technique. So the ability to shift your awareness, your attention, your consciousness, your soul, your spirit away from your physical body. So we do that by rolling out or sitting up. There's a lot more to it than what I'm explaining, but I just want to give a simple tip. So you want to think of moving out of the body. You can do this by bringing your mind and your memory to the act of rolling, or you can just sit up. So for example, I'm in bed, I can't feel my body, I'm falling asleep, but I'm awake in my mind, I feel the vibrations, and I might start shifting from side to side, not physically, my physical body is not moving, but my mind and my attention is going to start rocking side to side. And as you work side to side, there'll be a point where you think, well, I'm just imagining this, it's not real, I'm just thinking in my head. But as you get deeper in that altered state and you're doing this rocking with your mind, you'll suddenly start to feel, oh my God, I'm actually moving, because you've shifted from the physical into your astral body. There's a transition where I'm just imagining, and then boom, you drop in and you're actually moving from side to side. You haven't fallen asleep and you feel it. When that happens, you roll all the way out. So you go to sit up or you go to turn and you roll out. After that, move away from your physical body as much as you can, because it's like a magnet. And if you're too close, when you roll out, it will pull you back. So try and go to the door or go straight out the window or go through the wall, or you can go through the roof. Because we take our belief systems and our expectations about our prediction of reality with us, most people don't tend to go through the wall or the roof because they just assume they can't by habit, but actually you can. So go through the wall or go out the window, and then you have a dream, a projection plan. So you have something you want to do. So if there's someone you want to meet or something you want to do, which in this case, perhaps it's manifestation, you can go and do your projection plan. So those are three things: mind, awake, body, sleep, vibrational state, exit technique, hacking the hypnagogic highway, staying awake, lifting out from the vibrations, using the rolling technique, and then going and doing your projection plan. But that's kind of like in a nutshell. And I teach all of this in my 7-month immersive journey, which is called the Out of Body Experience, which is set up like a pilgrimage. So we have a 7-month container that's opened by a shaman, closed by a shaman, weekly classes, all of those juicy things to learn how to do this, which is really wonderful.
I love that. And just so many fantastic tips there. And I'm sure we're all going to be trying them tonight. But I loved what you touched upon there with the manifestation side of things, because of course, that's what we know and love here on this podcast. But what from what I was understanding from what you were saying, it's almost like when we get into that out of body experience, say, for instance, you wanted to manifest a certain career or something like that, like, would it be possible then to go to the place where you would be working in the astral projection and kind of not use it as visualization, but like go and experience that manifestation before it's happened in the astral world? Like, how would that work?
Yeah. So here's something that may be quite controversial. You don't need to try and manifest the things. You think that you're deciding on what you want to manifest, but the realities that are going to manifest that are meant for you, you will experience them within those realms anyway. So you can have that desire, and we should have an intention, 100%. I want intention to find my soulmate, have what is my purpose in this lifetime, heal my sickness or illness, but then letting go of any desired outcome, and you will experience what is meant to come for you. Now, here's the thing. You might decide to say, I want to heal this sickness or illness that I have, but you might be taken to somewhere that seems like a very scary, dark place, because you might be taken to a landscape or dimension related to the trauma needed to heal in order to act to heal that sickness. So I tend to talk about letting go of expectation once we have the intention, the desire. And I know that a lot of manifestation teachers speak to that. And the reason why I said it will be presented to you is because you have the intention before you go out of body. But then sometimes when you're out, it just comes to you anyway. So you could come out of your body and be taken straight to 5 different potential futures, and you can experience them all. And this is the difference between any other method I've found for manifestation. This is one of the reasons why shamans use it across the world in core shamanism, which means kind of general shamanism, the core techniques, is that you experience it as a reality that is actually happening. You don't need to do a vision board. You don't need to do self-hypnosis. You don't need to do guided meditations to try and feel it. You're in it, living that life. We've had someone come out of their body, live a whole lifetime, or it feels like a whole lifetime. Of course, it's not, because it's been maybe an hour or 20 minutes, and they've come back and they now embody the frequency of that energy of that timeline for it to unfold. And then it happens very quickly. So this is where we can, yeah, really have powerful manifestation experiences in a very radical way. Because also you might think, well, this is wonderful, but are you ready for that? Are you ready to experience everything you could possibly be in this lifetime? This is what we call our golden shadow in psychology. Anything and everything that is suppressed about your own gifts, talents, potential, and divinity. Are you ready for that? I mean, for me, I'm more comfortable with my dark side than I am my light side, because my light side is so incredibly powerful. I'm like, shit, if I just experience a tiny bit of my godliness, I'm like, what the actual, like, that's mental. And then you can bring that in. You can bring that feeling that you don't even need to bring the feeling. You are it when you come back. And then it flowers and unfolds in its own course, in its own time. That's why I'm smiling a lot, because I'm just so excited. It's incredible when you get a tiny taste of that divine potential of what you can really bring into this reality. But of course, the light and the dark are incredibly fused, which is why I said, you know, often to be able to access these higher realms, we have to go to the lower realms because they're incredibly entangled. And there is what I believe to be quite an outdated view of astral projection, more seen in the esoteric and the spiritualist traditions, in that this idea of, oh, there's lower bad places and higher, more divine places. Well, actually, in order to get here, need to go here, because, you know, the tree, in order for the tree to grow and reach and travel as high as it can, its roots need to dig down deep. So we have to be willing to see and go here in order to access the portals that take here. You know, the idea of light and dark, or heaven and hell, is largely dualistic but incredibly entwined. And many advanced astral projectors, they've done all of the work, they've done the tests, the lessons, they've gone to the shadow realms, they've healed all that stuff, and that's why they're now able to go to these incredibly beautiful places. That's not to say you can't access some of these wonderful places here without doing all that. Some people do, but at some point you're going to be taken to do the healing work, which will allow for all of these incredible infinite opportunities. And that might sound a little scary, the way I've just worded that, but I just want to say, it's not always what you think. I've had many what I would have thought would have been scary experiences, and then when I've met what's there, I've gone, oh my God, I totally thought that was going to be a lot worse. I totally thought it was going to be like this, and it wasn't. It was like this. So that's what I mean about releasing our expectations of what we think we might encounter in these other realms.
Yeah, and I think, like you say, it's that fear of the unknown, isn't it, around what could come up. And, you know, I hear it all of the time in my work, because obviously a lot of my work focuses on inner work as well and shadow work. So, you know, a lot of people do say, I'm so scared to even go into that. And I myself have felt that 100% over the years as I kind of dove into that journey. But like you say, you know, your soul can handle it. It is that part of your psyche, your shadow. It's not this kind of like dark place that the universe is like punishing you with. You know, it is the aspects of yourself that is here to be loved into the light, to be transmuted. And like you say, no rain, no flowers. Like, you've got to, you know, be able to, I love the tree analogy perfectly. It defines it brilliantly, because even though you may feel planted, even though it may feel dark, even though you may not know where that is, the blossoming that can happen from that is so beautiful, and the healing and all of the goodness. And, you know, from myself, who's walked that healing journey, different to what you've described there, but, you know, in relative ways as well, it is so rewarding, because the abundance and the lightness and the joy and the peace as well that you experience from doing that is like no other. Like, it, you know, there's hard to even describe in words, isn't it, what you experience. So I love that you say that about astral projection, because I think for some people, that will be such a great way to dive into that work in a way that maybe resonates with them more so than traditional psychology, or, you know, kind of like sitting down and journaling your feelings. You know, astral projection could be a whole new layer to them that could feel really expansive and feel really good to dive into. But for anybody listening, Jade, who loves the idea of all of this and is like, this sounds great, but I am nervous and I am anxious about doing this, what would you say to anybody who is worried about doing astral projection?
Yeah, I would say, this is going to sound incredibly simplistic, but I would say it's safe. There is nothing to be scared of. You will come back to your physical body. You won't be attacked. These are the common fears that I get asked all of the time. You will find that it is one of the most incredibly healing and powerful tools for manifestation. I mean, this is why in psychology, it's called a quantum change experience. In psychology, Western psychology, they do recognize changes that happen radically, kind of overnight, and they call them quantum change experiences. And the out-of-body experience is considered one of those because of the swiftness, because the experience is so radical. But just to be open to it, because it won't happen if you're not open to it and you're not willing and you're not ready. And I really loved what you said about everything about the shadow and that, because if we do have light or dark experiences, we only get given what we're ready for. So if we think, oh my God, I'm too scared, but you're really drawn to astral projection, something wants to come forward there. Something wants to meet you and take you somewhere on a journey. And that's what you are ready for. Even though you might feel scared and maybe not very brave, but it's coming for you because you're meant for it and you're ready for it. And we always think that we're not ready and the time isn't right. And of course, that's often the little ego, the little self, the fear that is kind of twittering on the shoulder, so to speak. But I do have a 7-day challenge because I get asked this so many times about fear and the two biggest blocks to astral projection are unconscious fear and limiting beliefs. So I have a 7-day challenge. It's something like £5 or something. You get videos and stuff that help you to come past this, and it can be applied to any altered state. So it helps you if you're preparing for a retreat, you're going to start astral projection, you want to do dream work, you're about to do a psychedelic journey. This is great for people to be able to overcome and be with anything. The premise is have unshakable confidence to release fear, to be with anything that arises in a deep altered state, which is quite big stuff.
Very big stuff, but very exciting, which I love. So we will link that below as well for anybody who wants to go and try that 7-day challenge with Jade as well. But my last question to you today then, Jade, is what is one piece of life advice that you would like to leave my lovely listeners with?
I didn't think of an answer to this. It's just come to me as you said that. And that is one of the things you realize as an advanced astral projector, and is that there is no death. So rather than seeing as, oh, what am I here to do in this lifetime? That's great and nice and important. But if there is no death, there's just an ongoing trajectory of evolution. So whatever is coming to you, if you feel like I haven't got enough time, I'm so stressed out, I'm not sure if I'm doing the right thing, you're always in the perfect place doing what you're meant to be doing. And that might sound simplistic, but everything that is meant to unfold is unfolding. And even when we die and we move on to the next place and we go to the next thing, it's just an ongoing journey. And I don't know if that is comforting for anyone or not, but this is one of the most profound things that I felt. So like, for example, I don't feel kind of like there's one person in this lifetime or one job in this lifetime or one reason in this. Actually, there's just consistent fluctuations in the alchemy of things coming together and moving apart in a kind of fluid flow of the universe, if that is any consolation for the answer to this question.
I love that though. Great advice. Thank you, Jade. So where can everybody find you if they want to learn more about your work and try astral projection?
Yes, so this is my website, info@jadeshaw.com, or you can follow my Instagram, which is jadeshawofficial. And I would love to invite everybody, if they would like to join my program. We're going live on the International Day of Human Spaceflight. We're going to open with a ceremony with a shaman who is going to open that 7-month container where we go immersively into a deep practice about body experiences for absolute complete beginners. Everyone is welcome, and it's going to be a beautiful journey and community.
Love that. Very exciting. Thank you so much, Jade, for coming on today. It has been such a joy chatting with you. I've learned so much about astral projection, and I feel like it's put a lot of my fears to rest as well. So like, I definitely want to try this, and I definitely want to learn more about it. So I've so loved our conversation, and I'm sure everybody listening has taken so much away from this as well. So thank you so much, Jade.
Well, thank you for having me, and hope everyone has a good flight. Don't forget to practice tonight.
So thank you so much, gorgeous souls, for listening. I really hope you've enjoyed Jade and I's conversation today. As always, you can find a clickable link to Jade's work in the description below. And if you want to find out anything more about myself, my books, my videos, or anything else that I have to offer, you can find it all at emmamumford.co.uk. So thank you so much, gorgeous souls, for listening. I appreciate all your views and listens. Don't forget to subscribe if you're new here, because I would love to see you again soon. Don't forget you can also join my free Law of Attraction support group over on Facebook, where you can join myself and other like-minded souls, where we talk all things Law of Attraction and spirituality. I hope you have a fantastic week, whatever you're up to, and I'll see you all in my next podcast episode, which will be next week. Lots of love!
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.